Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, August 14th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Germany's economy contracts as the trade war hits exports.
China posts the weakest industrial output growth in 17 years.
U.S. bond spreads inch closer to inversion.
The relief rally on delayed tariffs appears short-lived as U.S. futures slump and the yen strengthens.
The warden of the jail where Jeffrey Epstein died has been reassigned, and two employees are on administrative leave after reports of falsifying records. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka. Coming up in sports, the Yankees win their 80th, Herman his 16th, and the Mets taken down by a one-man show.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bonds are rallying this morning as global stocks slump. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 11 points, Dow futures down 100, NASDAQ futures down 30 points. The DAX in Germany down 0.5%, the CAC in Paris down 0.6%, while the Nikkei in Japan closed 1% higher. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.1%. The 10-year up 15/32nds, yield 1.65%. The 2-year Treasury yield 1.64%. West Texas Intermediate crude oil down 1.33%, down 76 cents, $56.34 an ounce. COMEX gold down 0.1%, down $2.30, 15.1170. The euro 1.1175 against the dollar, and the yen at 106.44. John.
And we begin, Nathan, with the latest economic data confirming a global slowdown. Germany's economy shrank 0.1% in the second quarter as exports slumped. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Jena Rindau in Frankfurt.
The contraction was driven exclusively by exports falling faster than imports. Private consumption, government consumption, investment, all that rose in the second quarter. So domestic demand was positive, but exports tipped the German economy over. That shows you a little bit how vulnerable Germany is to trade tensions, to softer global economic growth, and there is no real turnaround in sight.
The German economy has now contracted in two of the last four quarters, raising concerns about a recession. John Hardy is head of FX strategy at Saxo Bank.
It's a strong likelihood that we do see a recession, two quarters consecutively of negative growth. And the ECB is mostly out of bullets. They can lower rates a tad more. They can, of course, restart quantitative easing, but this runs into these political issues. So I think the key is the fiscal side of things and whether that comes on board and whether it can come on board in a solidary fiscal union kind of way across the European Union. And if it doesn't, then the European Union's in heaps of trouble. And ECB is there merely as an accessory in that process.
Meanwhile, we also have a GDP reading on the entire euro area economy. It grew 0.2% in the second quarter, in line with estimates.
The trade war also took a bite out of growth in China last month, with industrial output, retail sales, and fixed asset investment all missing estimates. Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie has details from Beijing.
When you look at industrial production, the weakest growth in around 17 years. So the trade war certainly pressuring the industrial sector. And then there's the consumer. Here we're seeing retail sales growth of 7.6%, a full percent below the estimates. Fixed asset investment also slowed. And again, there was an expectation that that would stabilize. Moody's Analytics describing the data as totally woeful. Bloomberg Economics saying, look, the economy has not bottomed. And they are suggesting that we're going to get more aggressive stimulus going forward.
So far, policymakers in China have passed tax cuts to boost spending, but it hasn't been enough to stem the slowdown.
There is a bit of a relief on the trade front as President Trump delayed imposing new tariffs until December 15th. Bloomberg News has learned that Chinese officials still plan to visit Washington next month for talks, but are not optimistic of progress anytime soon. Let's get more from Bloomberg's Jeff Black in Hong Kong.
From the perspective of officials in Beijing, I think they have been burned a number of times by expectations of a deal. People are very cautious at the moment. This latest delay is transparently about U.S. domestic opinion. It's probably going to do very little to make officials in Beijing enthusiastic.
Sources tell us Chinese officials are unlikely to make concessions in the run-up to October 1st when they celebrate the 70 years since the founding of the People's Republic.
Still, stocks in Asia greeted the news with a bit of a relief rally. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and John. Japanese equities outperformed despite strength in the yen on the back of weak Chinese data. The offshore yuan and Aussie fell. In Hong Kong, the Hang Seng recovered some ground following Tuesday's more than 2% loss. The tariff delay boosted semiconductor stocks in Seoul and Taipei, while the Korean won jumped the most in 9 months against the greenback before pairing some of those gains as local importers bought dollars. In Singapore, I'm Juliette Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Julia, thanks a lot. U.S. bond yields are falling. The spread between the twos and tens near inversion right now, less than a basis point away. Scott Minard is Chief Investment Officer at Guggenheim.
Bonds have had quite a move. You know, I do think we may have some room here further down, maybe to like 1.4% on the 10-year note. But ultimately, I think we will get some sort of relief from this and see longer rates rise later in the summer.
Again, the spread between 2 and 10 years sits right now at 8/10 of a basis point.
And finally, John, Hong Kong's airport has resumed normal operations after a chaotic night of protests. Now, authorities are restricting access to terminals to prevent more demonstrations. Bloomberg's Yvonne Men is at the airport with the very latest.
Security here is tight. What they're saying now, how they're going to enforce this, is that they're checking passengers' air tickets. And if you're someone that's departing in the next 24 hours, you are able to come in. Even when we were trying to come in, we had to show our press passes as journalists as well. So they are guarding some of these doors here. We're still seeing a pocket of protesters that came earlier, but a much, much different and tamer scene than what we saw yesterday. We're also hearing that there's a bit of crowd control with the Airport Express. This is a subway station that gets you into the city from the airport. They are also reducing the intervals of those trains to 25 minutes from 10 minutes.
And meanwhile, China is ramping up its rhetoric on the protests, saying demonstrators are acting like terrorists. Late yesterday, President Trump warned that Chinese troops are massing on Hong Kong's border. S&P futures down 13 points now. Dow futures down 119 points. NASDAQ futures down 35. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Nathan, thanks a lot. 5:07 on Wall Street. And it's time for news from around the world. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Two employees of the prison where Jeffrey Epstein died have been placed on administrative leave, and the warden has been reassigned. This after several law enforcement officials with knowledge of the matter say the guards did not check on the suspected sex trafficker for 3 hours. They're also accused of falsifying records to cover up their mistake. Attorney General William Barr has launched investigations into Epstein's death. Top Democrats are trying to keep the focus on gun legislation that stalled in the Senate. Bloomberg's Martin DeCaro reports.
Legislation requiring background checks on all gun purchases, including online and at gun shows, would not stop all shootings, says House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer. But he says that makes it no less worthy of action.
95% of Americans support it because they believe it is a significant and important step to take in the face of this violence.
Hoyer and other top Democrats stood alongside victims of gun violence at a Capitol Hill news conference, a move designed to keep the issue of gun safety on the congressional agenda because Congress has repeatedly failed to take action in the wake of other shooting massacres. In Washington, Martin DeCaro, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The Los Angeles Opera is opening an investigation, and concerts have been canceled by two music companies after numerous women accused opera legend Placido Domingo of decades of inappropriate behavior. China is taking steps to insulate the mainland from the protests that have gripped Hong Kong. On top of tightly controlling local media coverage of the demonstrations, authorities this month started keeping closer tabs on citizens who travel there. President Trump made a stop at a new Shell plant in Pennsylvania outside Pittsburgh. In Monaca, the president praised traditional energy production and went after wind-generated energy.
I'd like those big windmills that destroy everybody's property values, kill all the birds. Someday the environmentalists are going to tell us what's going on with that. And then all of a sudden it stops. The wind and the televisions go off.
The Shell plant that was approved in the Obama administration happened in 2012. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 5:10 of Wall Street. Time down for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's Rob Bushkin.
Good morning, John. For the Yankees, it felt like most of their 80 wins tops in the American League.
Lined hard down the left field line. It's a base hit going to the left field corner. One run scores Roman. Here comes the second run home. Tuchman, the throw is not in time. It is a two-run double off the bat of Aaron Judge.
Yankees radio 8-3. They beat Baltimore at the stadium to increase their lead to 9 over the Rays. It's the fourth win in a row for New York, who leads Houston for the best record in the American League by 2 in the win column. Domingo Herman tossed 7 solid innings to win his Major League best 16th game, lowering his ERA to sub-4. Yankees go for the sweep this afternoon. It's day baseball from the Bronx at 105 when Jay Happ hosts Dylan Bundy. Mets, they were beaten 5-3 in Atlanta by their young phenom, Ronald Acuna Jr.
Acuna hits one well to deep left field. He just branded his name on this thing. Deep to left field and into the seats for a home run. Rounds the bases after his 34th home run of the year. What power by this young man.
Braves radio, the 21-year-old also threw out Todd Frazier at the plate to help preserve the win. To make matters worse, the Mets lost All-Star Jeff McNeil to a hamstring injury. He's day-to-day. Series continues tonight at 7:20 when Steven Matz faces Dallas Keuchel. In NFL camps, Giants wide receiver Golden Tate lost his appeal on a 4-game suspension for a banned substance he says was a prescribed fertility drug. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
Rob, thanks a lot. And the NFL is adding another star to its lineup. The league had Jay-Z's Entertainment and Sports Company teaming up for events and social activism. The league not only will use Jay-Z's Roc Nation to consult on its entertainment presentations, but will work with his company to, quote, strengthen community through music and the NFL's Inspire Change initiative. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the price action of the markets this morning, the Dow futures down 127 points, S&P futures down 14, the Nasdaq E-mini futures 40 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Treasuries are gaining along with most European bonds as investors weigh weak data from two of the world's biggest economies against the apparent de-escalation in the U.S.-China trade war. Stocks in Europe are slipping along with U.S. futures while Asian benchmarks rose. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down nearly 15 points now. Dow futures down 132 points. NASDAQ futures down 45. The 10-year up 15, 30 seconds, yield 1.65%, while the 2-year's at 1.64%, a spread of 1 basis point. West Texas Intermediate crude oil is down 1.33%, down 78 cents, $56.33 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2%, down $3.30 at 15.10.70 an ounce. The euro is at 1.1178 against the dollar. The yen, 106.46. At 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, we get import and export prices for July. Then at 10:30, it's the EIA's crude oil inventory report. We're also awaiting earnings from Macy's before the opening bell. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Two guards assigned to watch accused sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein the night he apparently killed himself in jail have been placed on leave, and the warden has been reassigned. The Justice Department made the announcement amid mounting evidence against the understaffed Metropolitan Correctional Center in New York. Hong Kong's airport resumed normal operations after a chaotic night of protests in which demonstrators beat and detained two suspected infiltrators. President Donald Trump warned of Chinese troops massing on the border. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 8-3. The Mets lost. Boston won along with the Nationals. The Giants beat the A's 3-2. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 5:20 on Wall Street, we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, if you're feeling whipsawed by these markets, you can be forgiven for that. We're joined now by Lindsay Bell, CFRA investment strategist. Lindsay, good morning to you. Your timing is impeccable. Let's start with yields. The 2s, 10 spreads, looks like it's
about to flip, less than a basis point away. How good of an indicator is that for you?
Yeah, the 2s to 10s is a very important indicator, at least it has been historically, for determining recessions. Usually you have about 14 to 18 months after that inverts, whereby the 2-year is yielding a higher yield than the 10-year before a recession hits. So there is time, and the market usually rallies into those next 14 and 18 month period. But it is definitely something you want to watch. Now, people are out there saying this time could be different, and they're saying that because you're seeing people really looking for that flight to quality and putting a lot of money into U.S. Treasuries because of the significant amount of negative yielding debt around the world, which is really pulling, especially the long end of our curve here in the U.S., down. So having a much more negative impact on the yield curve than you would see in normal recessionary periods.
Okay, just to pick up on those, four most dangerous words sometimes in investment, as far as the data goes, how can you have a recession when you have such a strong employment report in the United States?
Well, that's exactly the thing. We feel very good about where the U.S. is from an economic standpoint. We're on very solid ground. We've seen steady growth over the last several years. We expect that to continue. It might, I think we're going to see in the third quarter and into the end of the year is a bit of a slowdown. But the consumer has really been the engine of this economy, and we expect that to continue to be the case. The relief of tariffs, at least being pushed back into December, certainly will save the holiday selling season, I think, especially for the consumer, who does remain price sensitive but has been able to absorb some price increases. From what we heard in the second quarter earnings period was they were able to pass on, consumer staple companies were able to pass on some price increases to the consumer. Some industrial companies were also able to do the same. So the consumer remains resilient. Wages have increased more than 3% for over 10 months now. We expect as long as that trend continues, the consumer can remain confident. We got small business confidence yesterday, and those companies really talked about how confident and optimistic they do remain going into the end of the year. Their biggest problem is really finding enough people to fill their open employment spots.
And maybe they have to pay them more. Inflation data surprised a bit to the upside yesterday. Can you parse that for me? Was that trade tensions reflected in their tariffs, or maybe that was actually before tariffs kicked in?
Yeah, you know what? We actually saw, I think apparel was one of the items where you saw some upward pressure within the inflation data. So, and of course, there was a little bit of pressure from tariffs pushing prices up as well. So the number it was kind of nice to see it coming a little bit stronger than anticipated. We'll see. Really, I really keep an eye on the core PCE indicator because that's really what the Fed pays the most attention to when making rate cut decisions. And that's been really well below the 2% range for several months now. So at 1.6 in the latest reading. So that's the one that I'll really keep an eye on. But it was encouraging to see the CPI data coming a little bit stronger.
Should the Fed be in any hurry to do anything?
Well, I mean, if you look at the yield curve, it seems like they do need to cut rates just to help prevent an inversion of the yield curve. Our economy is strong, though, and the economic indicators don't show the need for a rate cut. And if you think about where interest rates are right now, they do actually remain accommodative when you compare it to inflation. Usually you see inflation much higher than the Fed funds rate before a rate cutting cycle began. Now, we got an insurance rate cut last month. Our expectation is to see another cut in September. Really, is it more as a signal that the Fed got our back, got the world back? and it will be supportive.
Lindsay, always a pleasure. Lindsay Bell, CFRA, investment strategist. And we mentioned the 210 spreads below one basis point right now. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit mynycb.com for details.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 99.1.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. And we are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks in Europe are lower following the S&P 500's biggest gain in more than 2 months. And Treasury yields, they're falling. The spread between twos and tens nearing inversion after weak global economic data. Germany's economy shrank 0.1% of the second quarter as exports slumped. We get more from Bloomberg's Daniel Schaefer in Frankfurt.
Germany's crucial export sector has suffered in the second quarter, and that is definitely piling on more pressure on the German government to do something in terms of a fiscal stimulus. And actually, only yesterday evening, Angela Merkel, the German chancellor, has hinted that she might be open for some kind of fiscal stimulus, depending on really what's going to happen in the third quarter with the German economy.
We also have a GDP reading on the entire euro area economy. It grew 0.2% in the second quarter, and that's in line with estimates.
And there's weekday economic data out of China as well. For more on that, we turn to Bloomberg's Enda Curran in Hong Kong.
The latest readings from Beijing reveal weakness across the board on both the demand and supply side of China's economy. Industrial output grew 4.8% in July. That is the slowest pace since February 2002. Retail sales growth also slumped and fixed asset investment slowed. Economists are beginning to call for more aggressive measures from policymakers, even in the face of rising debt and persistent financial stability risks. In Hong Kong, Enda Curran, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Enda. Bloomberg News has learned Chinese officials are sticking to their plan to visit Washington in September for trade negotiations, but are not optimistic of progress anytime soon.
In Hong Kong, it is a calmer scene today after a chaotic night of protests. The airport has resumed normal operations, and authorities are now restricting access to terminals to prevent demonstrations. Bloomberg's Stephen Engel is there.
The airport authority now, with this interim injunction, they want to keep the protesters within the designated areas to restrain persons from unlawfully and willfully obstructing or interfering with the proper use of the Hong Kong International Airport. So that's where we stand right now. And that will be kind of the mandate that will dictate how this day will progress.
China's ramping up its rhetoric on the protests as well, saying demonstrators are acting like terrorists. And we're getting second quarter earnings from Tencent crossing the Bloomberg terminal. Net income for the second quarter beat the highest analyst estimate. Right now, S&P futures down 15 points, Dow futures down 135 points, NASDAQ futures down 48. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Nathan, thanks. 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you, sir. A person familiar with the probe of Jeffrey Epstein's death at a federal prison in New York says guards are suspected of falsifying log entries to show they were checking on inmates in his unit every half hour when they actually weren't. Surveillance video reviewed after the death showed guards never made some of the checks noted in the log, according to the person familiar with the investigation. Two employees were placed on administrative leave, and the warden of the Metropolitan Correctional Center in Manhattan was reassigned. President Trump took some time from his week-long vacation to visit the site for a planned Shell natural gas plant in Monaca, Pennsylvania. President Trump told the crowd, mostly union workers, to pressure their union leaders to support his reelection.
I hope you're going to support Trump, okay? And if they don't, vote them the hell out of office because they're not doing their job. It's true.
Shell announced its plans to build the complex in 2012. Immigrants in Texas have sued for release from detention facilities. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter tells us why.
They cite indefinite detention in horrific conditions and have asked a federal judge to order the U.S. to improve the conditions, give them access to lawyers, and release them after 72 hours. The complaint says the U.S. Customs and Border Protection has intentionally packed these people into filthy holding cells for lengthy periods of time, where they routinely sleep on concrete floors or concrete benches and are denied access to adequate food, water, medical, and sanitation facilities. It asks for immediate hearing. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
China has denied a request for two U.S. Navy warships that were set to make a port visit to Hong Kong amid the swirling protests and unrest in the Asian financial capital. There are new details about the mass shooting in Dayton, Ohio last week. Police tell us they think Connor Betts planned the shooting and they think he acted alone. Dayton Police Chief Richard Beal.
His companion had no idea what he was going to do, nor did he have any knowledge of the weapons that were in the trunk of that vehicle.
Nine victims were killed by Betts, who was also killed. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is coming up at 5:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Updates. And here's Rob Buschke.
Good morning, John. A perfect blend for the Yankees in the Bronx on Tuesday. Power and great pitching as they cruise 8-3 over the Orioles for their AL best 80th win. Domingo Germán, his big league best 16th victory. Skipper Aaron Boone.
Three pitch command and three quality pitches, and I thought today was definitely, the stuff was sharper. I thought his breaking ball was really good today. I thought he had good life to the fastball. Really run from the start, that the pitch he executed to VR to start the game, kind of up and in, mixed in the changeup. I thought he was in real command tonight.
Herman went seven innings, striking out seven, walking just one. DJ LeMahieu clobbered his 19th home run to cushion the lead as the Yankees have a nine-game lead over Tampa Bay in the East. They're up two on Houston in the win column for the best record in the junior circuit. Jay Happ hosts Dylan Bundy. It's day baseball at the stadium. First pitch is 1:05. The Mets have seen enough of 21-year-old phenom Ronald Acuna Jr. as the outfielder touched them all and threw out Todd Frazier at home plate in a 5-3 win in the sweltering Georgia heat. That could have led to Mets all-star Jeff McNeil pulling his hamstring. Mets manager Mickey Callaway.
All I know, his hammy tightened up on him. He's getting evaluated, and we'll just have to see, what it is. It's just when you react like that, we got to go out there and check on you.
McNeil went 1-for-5 batting leadoff. In football, the Jets signed defensive back Marcus Cooper a day after being cut by Detroit. He's played for four teams since being drafted in 2013. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. John?
Rob, thanks a lot. 5:37 on Wall Street, the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on how to fight big tech. Also in this week's issue, how a little-known statute transformed the web into big business and why it's now under attack. Felix Gillette wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
It's this statute that goes back all the way to the early days of the internet. It was passed in 1995, and it's proven incredibly important to how the web evolved.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio. 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. And for that, we're joined live by Bloomberg's Ed Khoury. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, John. AGL Industries, a Queens steelmaking company, will have to return $6 million in stolen wages to welders and iron workers. It's part of a plea deal with state and city authorities. The company's accused of cheating 500 workers out of overtime and other wages between 2013 and 2017. New Jersey has just passed the broadest wage theft law in the country. It establishes criminal penalties for non-payment of wages to New Jersey workers. It includes heavy fines and penalties, possible jail time as well, for even minor violations of the new Wage Theft Act. Connecticut dairy farmers told lawmakers Tuesday they need the state's help, given the challenges of low federally set milk prices and expensive production costs. They say the industry has to be financially viable, so a new generation of farmers will want to work the long, hard hours needed to provide locally grown food. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. John?
All right, thanks, Ed. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. And let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Moody's is warning Exxon that its credit rating may be lowered as spending balloons.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. I'm talking about big Hollywood studios getting big tax breaks to film in New Jersey.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on efforts by senior politicians to stop a no-deal Brexit.
I'm Ed Corey on KFBK in Sacramento. I'm reporting sources say Facebook paid hundreds of outside contractors to transcribe clips of audio from users of its services.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on around the world this morning. And right now we're looking at the spreads between the 2s and 10-year treasuries. That is below a basis point, 0.67 right now. And futures in the U.S., they point to a lower open on Wall Street. Dow futures, they're down 149 points. That's a decline of 0.6%. S&P futures, they're down 0.6%. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures, they're down 0.7%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the UK yield curve, looking at that as well, that inverts for the first time since 2008. Recession indicator in Great Britain. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Nathan Hager. The UK yield curve has inverted for the first time in more than a decade since 2008. As for the U.S. spread between twos and tens, it's at a half a basis point as we speak, with the 10-year Treasury yield 1.64%, the two-year at 1.63%. As for the broader market, which we check every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg, S&P futures are down nearly 18 points now. Dow futures down 157 points. NASDAQ futures down 55. The DAX in Germany down 1%, while the CAC in Paris is down 0.9%. West Texas Intermediate crude oil down 1.2%, down 69 cents, $56.41 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2%, down $2.20 at $15.11.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1179 against the dollar, and the yen at 106.39. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Hong Kong's airport has reopened after days of violent clashes between thousands of pro-democracy protesters and police. Hundreds of flights were canceled Monday and Tuesday as protesters blocked terminals. A person familiar with the probe of Jeffrey Epstein's death at a federal prison says guards are suspected of falsifying log entries to show that they were checking on inmates in his unit every half hour when they actually weren't. It is said surveillance video reviewed after the death showed guards never made some of the checks noted in the log. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 8-3. The Mets lost. Boston won, along with the Nationals. The Giants beat the A's 3-2. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Opinion, informed perspectives, and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news.
5:49 on Wall Street, time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion. And we're joined live now by Marcus Ashworth, Bloomberg Opinion columnist in our London bureau. Marcus, we're on inversion watch. I got to tell you, this caught me off guard. The UK headline that crossed the back end has been inverted for a time with the bonds in the UK.
Yeah,
and now it's the front end.
Yeah, I mean, fun if you're not alone in this. As I was coming here, it obviously ticked up. I mean, look, this is just one or two basis points. It doesn't really signify much. The curve is pretty flat. And there are really two markets in UK gilts. There's twos, tens, which is what we're looking at here with the inversion. And then there's tens and beyond out to sort of 50 years. That is a different market. It trades very much with domestic defined benefit players, which means pension funds and life insurance who have to buy an asset to match against their liability. And they've always been in search of long end gilt yields, and that's why they've always been negative, or probably lower at the long end than they are at sort of 10 years. So that's been a phenomenon for many, many years. The front end is a different market. It's more international. Obviously, you have a lot of sovereign wealth funds and reserve managements, you know, wanting to buy gilts, and of course, general players. And that, you know, is a slightly worrying sign. But you have to bear in mind, we have this dreaded word called the B word, Brexit. And we are probably expecting it to go not very well. And therefore, at some point, the Bank of England will have to get off its high horse and cut basis points off its 75 base rate at the moment, down to probably certainly 50, maybe 25, maybe even close to zero. So in that sense, that'll sort the curve out, and it'll re-steepen.
Okay, and let me bring up the four most dangerous words in investment. This time it's different, is it?
I don't think it's different. It's just, it doesn't mean as much. I mean, in the sense that we know we got an event which,
well, that's different.
well, we know we got an event we can't predict. You know, we Brexit could go really well, or it could go really badly, and it's got that big sort of cloud hanging over everything. Gilts have done very well because bund yields and U.S. Treasury yields are dropping like a stone, therefore they're dragged down with it. So there's all sorts of strange things going on in bonds. Logically, you would think that gilt yields would be higher because this current government is spending like it's going out of fashion, and therefore at some point they're going to have to issue a lot more gilts. Most gilt-edged market makers are predicting anywhere between 200 and 250 billion more gilts coming out over the next 4 years, and almost certainly at some point after the Brexit date of October 31st and after an election, you will see an extra budget where they will announce this extra spending. Ironically, the current spending review, which is going ahead fairly soon, is about announcing all the good stuff and not adding up any of the costs. So we don't know exactly what is coming on gilts, but we know for sure it's going to be a lot more issuance. You'd expect yields to be higher. They're not. Why? Because people are flocking into the safe haven of they've got to put sterling somewhere. If they keep on having to buy sterling because it's cheap, if you're holding an index of currencies, and they're going to put it somewhere, so why not put it in the front end of the yield curve?
Let's move to the continent and the beating heart of Europe. Are they having heart problems there in Germany?
Well, again, I would say that we knew that Germany was going to be into a negative number for quarter two. The nice thing about this number, only down 0.1, is it's the first time I've seen some German data for the last few months, which hasn't been worse than expected. It's actually pretty much exactly as expected. Look, they have some real problems. You know, some world-class companies are struggling. BASF, obviously all the auto companies, Henkel, you know, the list goes on of really decent companies which are starting to struggle. You can blame trade wars. You can blame slowdown in China, the lower level of the Rhine. There are off different reasons. But in essence, manufacturing in Germany is really struggling. The rest of the economy is great. And unfortunately, the manufacturing is doing so badly. And the expectations index of the ZEW forecasting was absolutely shocking yesterday, so there's worse to come.
Marcus, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Bloomberg opinion columnist Marcus Ashworth joining us from our London Bureau this morning. And you could read more on these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion. You can always go to Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the terminal by typing OPIN go. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. It's 5:53 on Wall Street, and it's time for the Bloomberg Law Report brought to you by American Arbitration Association. International trade or business dispute? Resolve faster with the International Center for Dispute Resolution, the leader in alternative dispute resolution around the world, ICDR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with John Metaxas in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Bloomberg has learned the Trump Justice Department is urging the EEOC to flip its position and tell the U.S. Supreme Court to rule that businesses can discriminate against transgender employees without violating the law. A new lawsuit by environmental group Wild Earth Guardians wants to force the Interior Department to decide whether to list the Joshua tree as a threatened species. And a law intended to prevent the breakup of American Indian families may be headed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and that has tribes worried.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
John, thank you. And on the topic of threatened species, another legal story we're watching this morning has the Endangered Species Act in the crosshairs. The Trump administration has announced changes that could profoundly weaken the law that protects fish, plants, and wildlife. For more on the story, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Vermont Law School professor Pat Parenteau.
Pat, explain how the Trump overhaul will change the act.
Well, probably the most significant change is that the administration is saying that they will now take economics into account at the stage at which you decide whether a species should be listed. The statute clearly prohibits that. The case law over the last 45 years has reinforced that. So the idea that you would include in your consideration the economic costs, of course, which are very speculative at the earliest stages, is just flatly illegal. The Trump administration is claiming that they don't intend to actually rely on the economic data when they make the decision, but nevertheless, they're going to consider it and disclose it. And the law says that agencies cannot consider irrelevant or improper factors when they're making decisions. And I would say that the consideration of economic costs has nothing to do with whether or not a species is endangered. That's a purely scientific question. So I don't have any doubt that the courts are going to strike that particular aspect of the rule down.
It's supposed to be about the science, not the price tag. What about the impact of climate change? Is that also being taken out of the consideration?
Yes, they're narrowing the definition of what's reasonably foreseeable, and they're requiring a higher level of proof that climate change will, in fact, jeopardize species such as the polar bear, the ring seal, the bearded seal, the penguins, the wolverine. These are all species that are very much at risk from the changes that climate change is creating within their habitats, whether they're in the Arctic or in the high elevation habitat of species like the wolverine. We know beyond doubt that climate change is altering their habitats to the point where if it continues, they will go extinct. It's just a matter of time, and that time may be decades, not centuries.
That was Vermont Law School professor Pat Parenteau speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso, and you can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at noon, Wall Street time, here on Bloomberg Radio. Find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures down almost 18 points at the moment. Dow futures down 155 points. NASDAQ futures down 57. The 10-year up 17.30 seconds. The yield 1.64%. Two-year treasury yield 1.63%. The spread a half basis point after the UK's spread for gilts between 2s and 10 years dropped below zero for the first time since the financial crisis. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.